Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, June 9th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
Are you drunk or something?
Not right this minute, but all bets are off after the end of the show. Today, we return to the cavernous workspace of the Queen of Kink Couture, Tonya Winters. This week's audio pilgrimage marks part two of our conversation and her highly anticipated return as part of the Sex Education as well as the Erotic Mind podcast series.
You are sharp as a tack today!
What do you mean, today? But wait! Did you miss part one of our conversation that appeared here last week? If you did, not to worry, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site. All you have to do is use the site's search function, that's drdicksexadvice.com, don't you know, type in podcast number 209, and presto! But don't forget the pound sign when you do your search.
But you want to know something? I got the feeling you ain't got any. Am I right or am I right? Or am I right?
What are you insinuating? Listen, Tonya invites you to visit her at her websites, winterfetish.com or wintercouture.com. She can also be found on her Facebook page, facebook.com/Tonya.Winter. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It's phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree. Nothing beats a Fleshlight. Look for their banner in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad you did.
Morning! See the groundhog?
No, we're going to see Tonya, which is even better than a groundhog. Now, let's just push open this door.
Tonya Winter, thank you again for allowing me to join you here in your creative space. It's wonderful to be back with you, and we've gotten some wonderful comments from people who have visited your website and really loved what they see. Just like me, and so I'd like to pick up our conversation where we left off last week. And last week, I was promising our audience that we would get to a discussion about the different fabric, different materials that you use, and also the different designs that you create. So let's start there. Can you tell us what is Darlax?
Oh, sure. That is two layers of spandex that have been fused together with a really, really thin rubber membrane in between.
Ah. So is it a new thing?
It's actually not. They use it in technical wear, like stuff for people who are going to kayak or ski, or
interesting.
I believe they use it even in some dive wear.
Ah. So it's insulating? And
yeah, it, right.
Okay.
So if you got into, for example, a sleep sack made out of it and struggled, you'd probably find yourself becoming
sweating
pretty warm. Yeah.
Sweating like a pig.
That's right.
Is it easy to clean?
Oh, yeah. You just throw it in the washer and dryer.
No kidding.
So great. I mean, if you really want to make sure it's going to last for the rest of time, then you throw in the washer and then you hang it to dry.
Right.
Which is what I do usually, yeah. Unless I'm in a hurry or something. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a funny thing that, you know, like, I don't own any leather. I think it's fascinating and I love to see it. And I've actually tried stuff on and I feel really nice about it. It's not something that I can afford necessarily. But anyhow, one of the things that I've seen is that, you know, it's really hard to keep up. It's really hard to clean. And, you know, that thinking to myself, you know, do I want to get this thing that I've just spent all this money on all, you know, sweaty and, you know, icky and stuff and full of bodily fluid? You can tell I'm a Virgo, huh?
Yeah. I think about that kind of stuff, too. I try not to think about it too much. That's one of the reasons I don't like to do repairs or alterations, is that people send stuff that isn't clean.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And it's just disgusting.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
Okay, the next thing that you use is spandex. Tell us more about that. I could probably pick spandex out of a crowd of fabric.
Oh, well, you know, it's what they make bicycle shorts out of, mm-hmm. and swimsuits.
Mm-hmm.
It's that knit, stretchy,
mm-hmm.
sometimes shiny, sometimes not very shiny. We use the one that's generally a little bit shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Our spandex, for the main colors, for the black, the red, the white and the blue, anyway, mm-hmm. is an 8 ounce. We're constantly looking for suppliers, but we're looking for a supplier that will give us what we want in the other colors in the heavyweight.
Right. And so 8 ounces is a heavyweight? Is that considered a heavyweight?
Right. Well, most stuff that you're going to find is probably going to be what they call a 6 ounce, but it's really like a 5.8.
I see.
And don't ask me why it's ounce. Like, X amount of the fabric cut and then weighed,
right.
I don't know.
Right.
All I know is the smaller the number, the worse it is.
Uh-huh.
for my opinion, right? Because I like it to feel more substantial.
Yeah. And for the most part, it's supposed to feel confining, yes? I mean, that's
right.
Inevitably the agenda. Stretch PVC. What is PVC?
You know, that's what people call it,
uh-huh.
but it's a spandex that has a coating of polyurethane on top.
Uh-huh.
Now, we call it PVC because it used to be PVC,
uh-huh.
But now it's polyurethane. I don't know, I couldn't tell you any more about that, but yeah, it's basically a plastic that's been heated and adhered to the top of a layer of spandex.
And does that best suited to some things as opposed to other designs?
Well, it's good for stuff that you want to wear to look good, you know, mm-hmm. like the cat suits and hoods and stuff, mm-hmm. that's for the visual fetishists.
Right.
We are experimenting with making a sleeve sack out of it, but I'm finding it's got limited stretch because of the coating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm finding that, you know, it's just not going to be trivial to have that fit in sizes.
Right.
But, like I was telling you last week, we're thinking about coming up with a new sizing system that has just a ton more sizes. So we're considering offering it in some of the bondage-y stuff.
The last material that I want to talk about is stretch mesh. What's that?
Oh, well, it's sort of like a spandex.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's got little holes in it everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a net material made with stretch.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen like underwear and jock straps made out of that.
Yeah,
is that right?
Probably have. Yeah. And of course you've seen fishnet stockings.
Right.
So imagine like a fishnet stocking, but the holes are a lot smaller.
Right.
That's what we're working with.
That's pervy.
Yeah. Actually, we found a supplier that has a lot more color range. We're about to make a bunch more colors available on the website, mm-hmm. which I'm excited about. Of course, a lot of people buy black, and that's mm-hmm. all well and good, but I get bored.
Yes.
So we're going to offer a bright pink and a blue and
cool.
You know, a few other colors. depending on how we like the color once the samples arrive.
Are there different designs that fit better for one material as opposed to another, or are they just kind of interchangeable?
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine it's going to depend on the person, mm-hmm. depend on the body, you know. I wouldn't personally wear a stretch mesh catsuit. I think that might be just a little too much to ask for people to look at. But
come on.
But you know, maybe someone else would feel differently about that. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. But all of the designs, I mean, one could choose one of these different materials for all of the designs. Well, but you couldn't do like a sleep sack in mesh, could you?
Well, we don't offer that because it would rip, probably, right?
I
wouldn't want to offer that because it wouldn't be durable.
Right.
But I see what you're getting at now. We don't offer all of the styles and all of the fabrics because of how it does or doesn't work, generally.
And you actually test this stuff. I mean, you're just not dreaming it up and, you know, sending it out. You're very scrupulous about this.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't go out.
Exactly. We like to send our stuff. We send stuff to the House of Gourd, for example.
Right.
We were going to offer a foil, like a shiny silver coated spandex.
Uh-huh.
And I was very excited by it. There was a gunmetal color and there was a silver color. And I thought people would just love it.
Yeah.
But the problem is we sent it to Germany with Jeff this recently. He went to BoundCon, I think it was called. And it came apart.
Wow.
The first time he, you know, like one use.
Yeah.
And if it can't, I realize it's a little bit more use, right? But if it can't hold up to one hard use, then forget it, you know.
Right.
You don't want to, as a customer, you don't want to buy something and have it falling apart, you know, two or three uses down the line.
That's so true. And good thing that you have a conscience about that kind of stuff, because the marketplace, including, you know, the fetishy kind of marketplace, is often full of stuff that isn't worth the, you know, the price one pays for it. So good for you. I'm glad to hear that. So let's talk about some of the interesting designs. The arm binder. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, it seems like most people who are listening are going to know what that is, but it basically it's a device that puts straps over the shoulders and material over the hands and arms behind your back so that you are forced into that shoulders back, kind of maybe chest out posture with the hands behind.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I find that position to be pleasing to the eye, and I think a lot of other people do.
Uh-huh.
The way we make it is we have the straps come straight down off the shoulder instead of crossing in the front.
Yes.
Which is a style that we inherited from the Ledermeister style patterns.
Interesting. And the other thing that I want to talk about, people can see your cat suits and your hoods. And the traditional straitjacket, but the sleep sack, tell us what and why and how, for example.
What and why and how you would use it?
Yeah.
Well,
where did they come from? Have you any idea of their...
Actually...
their history?
I don't know who originally thought of it, but I do know who is responsible for me making it.
Oh, good. Tell us.
So a friend of mine came to me with a sleep sack that he bought from Mark Chester.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, you can't get these anymore. Mark's not making them anymore, and you can't get them from Mr. S anymore. And I really, you know, it's kind of falling apart, and I really love it. He was all about it. And can you make it, you know? And I was like, well, you know, whatever. So I had a friend of mine who knew Mark call him to make sure he was actually not making them. And that was, in fact, the case. So I made it in spandex because that was what they were made in, right? And
this is a cocoon thing, a complete cocoon.
Right.
Right?
It's basically like a very tight sleeping bag that has interior sleeves so that you can't, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Get up to anything naughty. Or
as we often do in our sleeping bag.
Yeah. And you know.
I read about that in a book somewhere.
Right.
Obviously. I've never done it.
No, of course not. So, and then one day I just, I found Daleks, and I thought, the first thing I thought when I saw the Daleks sitting in the shop was, a sleep sack out of this would be far more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spandex sleep sack, honestly, on a scale of 1 to 10, in my particular opinion, maybe 6, you know. But when we made it out of the Daleks, it just pegged it right up there. Okay. I still use one.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Pretty frequently uh-huh. with my boy. Luckily, he likes it.
And he's a baby.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. But then, you know, I just like my boys to lay still when I'm getting busy.
I love it. You are such a treasure. Oh, my God. Since you self-identify as kinky, I'd like to spend some time chatting with you about that. A lot of your creations are for bondage, right?
Yeah.
You decided that. Is there a difference between rope bondage, like practiced by Monk and Max, and, say, Daleks or spandex bondage?
Yeah, I would say so.
And can you talk about that?
Sure. The thing, there's a couple things about mm-hmm. using one of the Daleks things is meant for bondage. You know, it's, I don't know what the right word is though. It's comfortable. Mm-hmm. Now you can tie people up in a way that's comfortable with rope,
mm-hmm.
But it's comfortable in that this other way. It's like you're getting hugged all over.
Right. Right? That's what
like
I was gonna say.
It's almost like comforting.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you know, it could be that people have that same experience with rope. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of...
But they don't... It can't possibly cover the same amount of, you know, skin as a sleep sack.
Right.
Or it's, a straitjacket or anything.
Yeah. It's more of an encasement thing.
Right. Interesting.
And the other thing about rope bondage is that, you know, what you can't really do with the Daleks without adding something is make it uncomfortable. Right. Whereas it's easy to do that with rope bondage.
Yes.
You know, if that's what you're looking for, or even if it's not. Depending on your skill level, right? Yeah. Because, you know, when I do rope bondage, which I love doing,
mm-hmm.
it can often be uncomfortable, because that's one of my things. Yeah. I like to put people in predicaments.
Yeah.
But the Dalek stuff is really more about the encasement and sensory deprivation kind of a trip.
Yeah, interesting. So let's talk about the role of endorphins and adrenaline in this unique type of bondage. Can you address the either or?
You know, I think for some people, the sleep sack is intense because, you know, it's a little scary because it is so complete an experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the being squeezed all over.
Mm-hmm.
So that might cause them to have a little bit of that sort of fear or adrenaline experience.
Right.
I think that's not common, not like the.
It could be very claustrophobic for somebody who's
right,
not prepared for that, right?
Yeah, the first few times maybe. Yeah. I mean, I imagine. That they, over time, it changes
right,
to that
right, right,
something
right.
else. But I really, I don't identify with people who feel that way about it. Because
mm-hmm.
for me, it's just great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays I don't want it bottom much.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do, you know, I just like that. It's freeing
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Because mm-hmm.
you just have to give yourself over completely mm-hmm. to the experience. There's no really other choice.
And so, again, this gets us back to your whole take on your business model, and that is that you know of what you speak, you know of what you design and what you develop. It's It's not like, you know, I saw a picture of this in the newspaper once or in a magazine, and but you, it comes from your life.
That's
right?
True, yeah.
So that makes it different, it would seem to me. Because when I see somebody, like someone's photographs of, you know, a BDSM scene kind of thing that is more fashion oriented as opposed to lifestyle oriented, I actually can tell the difference. You know, I could say that, you know, that photographer really doesn't engage in that lifestyle. He's capturing an image. And then you can see the stuff that is captured by somebody who actually lives it, and it's quite different, it seems to me. I mean, the tenor of the photograph is different. Interesting.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So let's talk about power play a little bit. And I suspect that there's a much edgier side to you than what appears on your websites, right? Chicken salads.
That's very accurate, yeah. Mm.
Are you scary?
I am scary. I actually, that's kind of a problem in some ways. I actually sometimes have trouble picking anybody up because I'm too scary.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, again, you said last week that you started doing this when you were in high school, unbeknownst to you that it was kinky behavior. So you've had some practice, yes?
Oh, yes. Back in high school, it was all stolen neckties and ropes off of the robe sash ropes, you know,
yeah,
for tying the robe up and whatever I could find, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after I got here,
right.
I took some C-Space classes and figured out where to buy rope, and there's, you know, there's that. Because I spent a bunch of years when I first discovered the kink community as bottom, because I felt like, I know one said this to me, but I just felt like I should bottom for a while before I really got into topping much more.
Well, you know, I've always thought that myself, and interestingly enough, I've chatted with a number of professional tops, pro toms,
mm-hmm,
who have never bottomed, who don't ever bottom, or rarely bottom. And I thought that was odd, because it just seemed to me that if you were going to, you know, play with somebody in this fashion, would you not want to know what they would be experiencing?
Right. You know, I feel that way for myself, and I feel that way sometimes for other people that I don't know, but then there are some people that I know who don't bottom that I feel like they have managed to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that it's valid either way, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who maybe could use a little more empathy, and maybe their access to that would be to try it.
Right. Well, you know, if I ever bottomed for a dom, I would want him or her to know, I would want to know that she or he knew what it was to be the bottom, as opposed to not.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my thing. That would be the question I would ask. That would be the first question. Have you tried this yourself?
Sure.
I don't know why that is,
yeah,
but it could be false sense of security. I don't know.
It seems like a more easy access to knowing, you know, empathetically what's going on.
Yeah. So you're predominantly a dom, but you do sub from time to time. What dictates the reversal of roles, if anything?
Honestly, I would bottom more than I do, but it's just a matter of who to play with, you
right.
know. And I've played with a bunch of people from around town, and I still, upon rare occasion, will play with people, but it's a matter of having the right relationship.
Yeah. It's chemistry too, yes.
Yeah, I almost miss those times when I could bottom to anybody and have fun,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yeah.
But now I really, in order to get where I want to go, I have to have a certain level of respect for that person, and
right,
unfortunately what that requires is feeling like they're as experienced as I am, or more.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it takes at this point.
And if somebody was to approach you you know, for a scene to play with you, a bottle approaching you, to how would this person best go about doing that? Please, like that.
Honestly, I get a lot of requests, and what I notice is that I'm terrible. I'm a terrible person, but you know, they send me these emails and they say crude and unthought out things,
right.
And they use bad grammar and spelling, and I just delete them. I mean, if you can't string together an entire paragraph that has proper punctuation, spelling, and grammar, I'm not sure if you're actually going to be smart enough for me to be interested in playing.
it's more than the activity. I mean, it's bigger than the sum of its parts. This is the thing that I've learned in this whole series, and that there has to be this intellectual interest, this connection, call it chemistry or whatever. But I mean, you have to feel like you are engaged in an activity that, you know, it is making sense for both you and the person you're playing with.
Yeah. No, I'm just kind of weird. I don't know if that's true, but I like a tasty brain more than I like the package. Now,
yeah.
Obviously, there has to be some chemistry there,
right.
But I had this gorgeous guy I played with for a while, but every time he opened his mouth, it was torture, you know. And he wasn't.
And you were bottoming out.
Yeah. And he wasn't unintelligent. I'm not saying that,
right.
Actually. But we did not click. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, finally I had to learn my lesson. You know, you have to grow up and realize that just because they're lovely to look at isn't enough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. So many power players speak in terms of BDSM being both recreational and cathartic. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Care to elaborate?
Yeah, in fact, I actually wrote a paper in college. No, partially because I'm ornery, but I was in English class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had to write a paper about something, and I wrote one on... I think I called it sadomasochism as a path to spiritual enlightenment.
No kidding.
Right, but what it really had to do with was people getting into that place, like using a really heavy scene to expel bad memories about something.
Yeah.
I myself, I have a cutting on the small of my back, and I used that to expel the memories of some stuff, icky stuff that happened to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, no, this is me, this is who I am and what I'm about. You know, not everybody uses it that way, but
right.
I think it's available.
Right.
You know, I actually had a scene with someone who, they wanted to reclaim something for themselves, something
mm-hmm.
personal.
Right.
And I, you know, they're like, this is what I want you to do, I'm going to stay for it, and I don't want you to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to keep doing what you're doing until I say for three times.
Wow.
And yeah, that was pretty intense.
Oof, one would guess.
Yeah. It was also pretty fun because in the middle, they didn't warn me that they were going to do this either. In the middle, like after the first safe word, they were like, aren't you afraid of your reputation? Don't you think that people are going to talk? I mean, I'm going to tell everyone. And I wasn't exactly for sure that they were kidding,
uh-huh.
you know, not kidding, but
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
But I did it anyway.
You don't give a shit.
I kind of do, but I wanted to make sure to give them what they wanted.
Mm.
And I was pretty sure that they wanted it or I wouldn't have started.
Right. Do you play with both women and men?
I do.
Cool. And is it safe to assume that you don't play with every Tom, Dick, or Mary who approaches you?
That's a very good assumption, yeah. I really don't make myself very available at all.
And so we've discussed that it has to be interesting to you. The person has to approach you in not only a respectful sort of way, but, you know, like in an intelligent sort of way, if they're expecting to get anywhere with you.
Yeah.
Good. Now, who are your sexual heroes?
You know, I really admire Midori.
Mm-hmm.
She is genuinely, you know, genuinely a nice person, and mm-hmm. she does such a good job.
Mm-hmm. She's quite an educator.
Yeah, her class.
We came dangerously close to doing a podcast together.
Oh, dangerously close.
Yes, we were actually on Skype together, and then it just kind of all fell apart. But
oh dear.
Yeah.
Well.
She's amazing. I'm a big fan. Absolutely. And cutting edge, and you know, a real pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody I really admire.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'd love to have my own brain sorted out as well as I imagine she has hers.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in my life.
Yeah. Well, you're no slouch. I can tell you. I mean, it's an honor to sit in your company. I mean, it really is. I know you are trying to be understated and, you know, and casual about the whole thing, but I know that I'm in the company of something special.
Thank you.
And now for my $50, please.
Yes, here's your tip.
So one final thing before we conclude, because our time is like way over. But I'd like to turn our attention to an area of special interest to me as a therapist. And I often hear from kingsters and pervs, as well as your run-of-the-mill gay and lesbian folk, that they are often frustrated in their search for sex-positive and kink-positive healing and helping professionals. I suppose that you are equally attuned to this pressing concern, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do you take care of this, or any tips that you can offer to people who might be in search of somebody like that, a healing or helping professional? How do you deal with that?
Honestly, there are a couple of therapists that I know in town.
Right.
I send them to him.
Oh, good.
He's a heavy player, kingster. So the worst thing that happens is you go into therapy and then you have to explain yourself, right? And then the person, I had a close friend who needed therapy, and I was like, just go to a therapist and then train them, because that's what I did with my doctors and chiropractors. I just trained them, right? But he said, you know, by session three, they were still discussing his kink, which wasn't at all to do with his problems.
Yeah, and on top of it, you know, that's costing you money, and you're paying the therapist to educate him or her. I just think that's wrong.
Yeah.
As a therapist, I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
But there are some websites out there, it seems to me, that, you know, my name is on several of them, where you can go and, you know, search for kink positive and sex positive therapists and doctors and whatnot in your area. Luckily, we live in a, you know, metropolitan area that, you know, has some sensitivities toward this, but.
I suppose if you live out of area, you'd want to find one that's willing to do phone sessions.
Right, exactly. And I do. You know, that's how it happens. You know, I do a lot of my work through Skype, because there are people who, you know, are stuck in God knows where, and, you know, they just have no access whatsoever. And it would be dangerous for them, actually literally dangerous, both physically and, you know, in terms of job or whatever, to disclose about who they are and what they're doing. Cool beans. Well, as I said, it's been such a treasure spending so much time with you. And, you know, I know I'm taking you away from your work, and there are people out there crying because they don't have their cat suits yet. And it's all my fault, folks. So, Tonya, thank you so much for being so available, and we are Richard for the experience, and we will be seeing you in cyberspace until we meet again.
Great, thank you.
Cool beans.
Fabulous show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Fleshlight and Fleshjack. Say, guys, have you been looking for the perfect gift for yourself? A gift that will give you hours of fun and pleasure and never run out of batteries? Well, I have just the thing for you. Once you've tried a Fleshlight, you'll never again settle for second best. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, here's a tip. Being a great lover being able to control your orgasmic response and last for as long as you'd like takes practice. Sure, you can learn how to last longer by simply using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice with this puppy, you will be able to last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you accomplish this with an Endurance Jack, you'll have all the skills that you need to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made here in the good old U.S. of A. Look for the Fleshlight and Fleshjack banner right there on the sidebar of DrDicksSexAdvice.com.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
I guess we're going to have to wait till tomorrow to see. One final thing. I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, DrDicksSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDicksSexToyReviews.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under health, subcategory sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next time, remember, sex is good and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.